Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you so very much, and I appreciate you being here this afternoon. Can we let this worship band know how much we appreciate them? Tremendous, tremendous worship, and we so appreciate people using their gifts. Well, it's great to be here, and I was thinking this morning, I was driving to the campus. I got in heavy traffic and got out of the traffic and started moving at a pretty good pace, and it reminded me of a story years ago. I was going to preach at a church, and I was running late. You know what I believe? I believe if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Amen? And I was running late, and I was moving at a pretty good pace, and I looked up in my rearview mirror, and I saw blue lights. And I started getting the vehicle off to the side of the road. As soon as I got the vehicle off to the side of the road, I made sure I got something buckled in. Got it buckled in. The officer came up and he said, sir, can I see your license and proof of insurance? And what I've learned is just always be gracious and kind with law enforcement, amen? So I just gave him my license, proof of insurance. And he said, sir, you were going 78 in a 65. I said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And the line is always the same. This is the line. I said, I'm a preacher. And I was going down here to preach. And he said, matters not, you're a preacher. He said, at this speed, you could hurt innocent people, which he was totally correct. And I said, well, I was just going down to this little Presbyterian church to preach. He said, did you say Presbyterian? I said, yes. He said, Mama was a Presbyterian. I said, I love those Presbyterians. I love those Presbyterians. And he said, Pastor, I don't normally do this. And he said, I don't know why I'm doing it today. But he said, I'm going to let you go. He said, be careful. I said, praise God and the Lamb forever. And he started to walk away. And then he said, but I have one more question, Dr. Tate. I said, sure. He said, I notice you've got your seatbelt on. I said, oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. He said, one other question. Do you always run it through the steering wheel? Folks, if we don't do right, we'll get in trouble. Amen? If we don't do right, we'll get in trouble. Let's take our Bibles and stand. Can we do that? Can we take our Bibles and stand? We're going to 1 John chapter 5. Now, let me tell you. D.L. Moody said these words. He said, God didn't give us the Bible to increase our knowledge. God gave us the Bible to change our lives. God didn't give you the Bible to increase your knowledge. God gave you the Bible to change your life. And if we follow the teachings of the Word of God, young men and women, it will transform your life. Somebody said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Let me tell you something. If God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. Amen. It's already settled, because this is the Word of God. This is not Shakespeare. This is the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So I want us to look at it as the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, somebody said to me, said, Brother Benny, you're a preacher. I said, that's what I am. I'm a preacher. And then somebody asked me, said, what's the difference between a preacher and a teacher? What's the difference between a teacher and a preacher? Here's the difference. The preacher will tell it. The teacher will tell it, but the preacher will yell it. Amen? That's the difference. 1 John 5:13 says this. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. God, I bow my head and my heart in your presence. I pray that you'll speak to us and through us. Have your will and way. And for all you do, we're going to give you glory, honor, and praise. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments this afternoon, and I want to talk to you about freedom from doubt. Freedom from doubt. I believe that there is a great difference between assumption and assurance. A great difference between assumption and assurance. Assumption is when we suppose a thing without proof. Assumption is when we suppose a thing without proof. But assurance is when there's no room for doubt. No room for doubt. This article was actually, students, in the Atlanta Journal. I cut this out of the Atlanta Journal newspaper. This is what the article said. Single black female seeks male companionship. Ethnicity, unimportant. I'm a very good-looking girl who loves to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, fishing trips, cozy winter nights, lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me the right way, rub me the right way, and watch me respond. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work, wearing only what nature gave me. Kiss me, and I'm yours. Over 15,000 men found themselves talking to the Atlanta Humane Society about an eight-week-old black Labrador retriever. Some men assumed, students, we get in trouble when we assume. There was a country store, and a salesman pulled up at the country store. On the porch of that country store sat an old timer, and a dog was lying by him. The salesman walked up on the porch and said, "Does your dog bite?" The old timer said, "Nope." So the salesman kept walking. About that time, that dog tore into that man. He bit his leg. He bit him in several places. Finally, he pulled back from the dog, and that salesman said to that farmer, "I thought you said your dog didn't bite." The old farmer said, "That's not my dog. That's not my dog." See, there's a difference in assumption and assurance. Now, D.L. Moody said, "I've never known anyone who was good in the service of Christ who did not, first of all, have assurance of his or her salvation." What I have found out many times in the Christian walk, I have found out people want to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they're right with God. Because, students, Eternity's too long to be wrong. We need to know that we know that we know. A.W. Tozer said, we have but a short time to prepare for such a long time. We have such a short time to prepare for such a long time. Now let me make two observations. Observation number one, doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. Doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. There are three groups of people. Three groups. Those that have doubted, those that will doubt, and those that are brain dead. Because doubt will happen in the life of every believer, and it's so common that the Bible says 1 John was actually written. This book that I am preaching from today, it was written, young people, according to verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's those that have accepted Christ. But these things are written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to think so. God doesn't want you to hope so. God wants you to know so. After Mother Teresa died, they found her journal. And apparently, even with Mother Teresa, there was a time that she doubted God's existence. Because this is what she penned in her journal in 1959. She said, what do I labor for? If there be no God, there can be no soul. If there is no soul, then Jesus, you also are not true. Doubt will happen in the life of every Christian. So now wait, Brother Benny. Doubt is the opposite of faith, right? No. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Doubt is when I have faith, but I am struggling in my faith. Doubt will happen in the life of every believer, but I want you to understand this. Doubt is from the enemy. Doubt is from the enemy. Think about this. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. He put them in a beautiful garden. And he said, don't eat of that tree. When you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And if you read Genesis 3:1, look what it says. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Is that really what he said? Hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? What was the devil doing? He was creating doubt. And ladies and gentlemen, doubt is from the enemy, and the devil wants to create doubt in our hearts and in our minds. Jesus said this. Jesus said, there's not a greater among you than John the Baptist. But in Matthew chapter 11, at a low time in John's life, John the Baptist said, is he really the Christ? Or should we look for another? The one who Jesus said, there's not a greater among you, doubted. Here's what I want you to see. The guy who wrote this scripture, John, from the book of John, wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He wrote the book of Revelation. But he wrote this book so you could know. So young man, young lady, so you would have no doubt in your heart. And he gave us some proofs that we're right with God. And what I want to do, folks, I want to give you some proof so you can leave this service knowing that you're right with God. The first proof is this. I want you to see the confession proof. The confession proof. It's in 1 John 5 and 1. Look what it says. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now get this, folks. Whosoever believeth. It didn't say whosoever was baptized. It didn't say whosoever was a good person. It didn't say whosoever joined the church. It didn't say whosoever was a Baptist or whosoever was a Presbyterian or whosoever was a Methodist. It said whosoever believeth. I want you to know something. Anytime you see the word believe, it's never in the scripture in past tense. Let me explain. The scripture never talks about hath believed. It's always in the present tense. So you say, well, Pastor Benny, when you were 16, you accepted Christ. That's exactly right. But let me tell you about my wife. My wife can't remember the exact spot and where she accepted the Lord. See, all of her life was different from mine. She had a drug problem. Her mama drug her to church all of her life. So she went to her church her entire life. So she can't remember that specific place, that specific point. It's kind of like the man who said, I can't remember anything. And he goes to the doctor and he says, I can't remember anything. And the doctor says, sit down and tell me about it. He said, sit down and tell you about what? I can't remember anything. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I can't remember the exact point, but I want to ask you something. Are you believing on him today for salvation? Are you believing on him right now for salvation? Because if you're believing on him right now for salvation, that's an indicator that you have believed him on him in the past. It's kind of like Will Rogers. Will Rogers goes to get a passport. And the passport office says, I need to see your birth certificate. Will Rogers said, I don't have one. Why do you need it? They said, we need proof of your birth. He said, I'm here right now. Isn't that proof enough? Young people, confession proof is, how do you know that you have believed on the Lord in the past? An indicator that you've believed on him in the past is you're believing on him right now for your salvation. You're trusting him right now as the propitiation for your sins. So there's confession proof, but let me tell you the second proof. There's contrast proof. Contrast proof. Look what 1 John 2 and 29 says. It says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. My motivation for becoming a Christian was I saw a change in my mother. She didn't become perfect, but she did become different. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come to know Christ, there'll be a contrast in our lives. Jesus Christ changes our lives. When you come to know Christ, there's the confession proof, but there's the contrast proof. Henry Ford said he had a plant one time, and his supervisor came to him, and his supervisor said, Mr. Ford, we've got a problem. He said, what's the problem? He said, we've got a guy here who says he's become a Christian, and he's been stealing parts from the plant. He's been stealing batteries. He's been stealing alternators. He's been stealing mufflers. He's been stealing spark plugs. He's been stealing parts. But he says he's become a Christian. And now he's brought everything back. What do you think, Mr. Ford? Mr. Ford said, dam up the Detroit River and baptize every one of our employees. This is what I know. Jesus Christ changes people's lives. Jesus Christ, young people, changes people's life. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't know that I'm right with God. How can I know that I'm right with God? There's the confession. You're believing on him today. There's the contrast. There's been a change. But then there's the compassion proof. The compassion proof. See, there was a guy named John who wrote this scripture. But in Luke 9 and 54, this is what he said. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Let me explain. Some people weren't teaching the teachings of Jesus. And this guy John said, maybe we need to ask fire to come down and destroy them. Maybe we need to call fire down upon them. But after spending time with Jesus, he said in 1 John 3 and 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. 1 John 4 and 8 says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Somebody asked me, they said, Pastor Benny, I understand at your church, you have all types of races in your church. How do you deal with racism? How do you deal with racism? And let me say, if you hate a person because of their race, that is wrong. If you believe one race is superior, that is wrong. If you're prejudiced toward another race, that is wrong. But you hear me and you hear me clearly. How you deal with racism is when you come to know Jesus Christ. He puts a love in your heart that wasn't there before, and you have a compassion for people that you didn't have before. Tell you something. I told you about my mother gave her life to Christ. My mother gave her life to Christ. We started inviting her mother to come to church. Her mother was in her 70s. She came to service, and the preacher preached, and I could tell conviction was all over my grandmother. Sometimes when I preach, people say, "Brother Benny, you got on my toes." Well, if I was going to aim for a body part, it wouldn't be your toes. No preacher got on your toes. It was the Holy Spirit of God. My grandmother in her 70s, I never will forget it, Brother Mark. God was dealing with my grandmother's heart. And they had seeds just like you all have. And she had a grandchild that was playing around and got its leg hung in one of those seats. And I immediately watched my grandmother's mind go to that seat. And I said to the devil, "Devil, I hate you. Because you'll do anything to distract somebody's mind. He's trying to distract some of your minds right now from what God's trying to do in your heart. The devil will do anything to try to distract your mind from what God's trying to do in your life." And I walked over to that grandchild and I got her leg out and I set her down in the name of Jesus. And I said, "Don't you move a muscle." And the service continued. Let me tell you something. How you respond in service can greatly impact somebody else. How you respond can greatly impact somebody else. A few moments later, my grandmother in her 70s made her way to that altar. She'd lived a very sinful life. My mother knelt down beside her. Granny prayed the sinner's prayer. Just a short prayer. It's not the length of the prayer that makes the difference, it's the strength of the prayer. Just a few words can change your life. I can prove it. I do. You that are married, those two words change your life, brother. I do. My grandmother prayed a simple prayer. And then my grandmother looked over at my mom and she called my mother's name and said, "I love you." My mother was near 50 years old. My mother said, "That's the first time I've ever heard my mother tell me she loved me. That's the very first time." Let me tell you something. When you come to know God, He puts a compassion in your heart. He puts a compassion in your heart that wasn't there before. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. What's the answer for racism? Jesus Christ is the answer for racism. Two people can't be right with God and wrong with each other. It's a violation of the Word of God. Number four, the fourth proof is conviction proof. Conviction proof. So what are you saying? Well, I'm almost done, but look what 1 John 5:14 says, 5 and 4. It says, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." That implies a struggle. Young people, when you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. Say, "Pastor Benny, how do I know that?" Romans 8:9. "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." When you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. God doesn't dissect the Trinity when you get saved. When you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit, He lives within you. But let me explain something to you. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. I want to camp right there just a minute. When I got saved, I had a terrible mouth. My language was terrible. Just terrible. I remember preaching at one place and a lady came up to me and she said, Reverend Tate, I enjoyed your message. I said, thank you so much. She said, but you made 13 grammatical errors. I said, well, you don't understand. I had to give up half of my vocabulary when I got saved. And after I got saved, I was standing out back by a chicken pen one day. And something happened, and I said some language I shouldn't have said. And the guy beside me said, I thought you became a Christian. I said, I did. But what I didn't understand, Brother Jim, what I didn't understand, the Holy Spirit was inside me. And Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I started realizing something. That word grieve there in the Greek means to deeply sadden. And I felt so bad. I had done wrong. And I've done wrong many times since, by the way. There's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. But let me tell you something. Every time I've disobeyed God, the Holy Spirit has dealt with my heart. He's convicted my heart when I've said something or done something I should not have done. And let me say to you, when you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will convict your heart. And you'll know that you're His child because He's convicting your heart. Most of you would be too young to remember him. There was an actor one time by the name of Steve McQueen. Most of you would be too young to remember him. He was a great actor. Let me tell you about Steve McQueen in acting. And this is the last story and I'm done. He not only would play the part, but he was the stunt man. He was a man's man. But Steve lived a real sinful life on drugs and alcohol and went through relationship after relationship after relationship. And Steve was diagnosed with cancer and went to a church service with a young lady who he was dating, and John Wesley White preached, and Steve McQueen went down front and prayed the sinner's prayer. But after he prayed the sinner's prayer, a little time passed, and he reached out to Dr. Billy Graham, and he asked for a meeting with Dr. Billy Graham, who recently passed. And Dr. Billy Graham met with Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen said, Billy, Dr. Graham, I've had more women in my life than Carter's got pills. I've done more drugs. I've drank more alcohol. I've done so much sinning. My past is so checkered. How do I know that God has forgiven me? How do I know? I've done so much wrong, Dr. Graham. How do I know? Dr. Graham took his Bible and he opened it up to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Dr. Graham took a pen and he underlined that verse. And that verse says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He said, Steve, You've got eternal life because God said you had eternal life. And God cannot lie. It's not on the basis of how you feel, because feelings come and go and feelings are fickle. But God's not a feeling, God's a fact. And then he said, keep the Bible. Steve McQueen died receiving treatment in Mexico for cancer. And when they found Steve McQueen in his chair, his Bible was open to Titus chapter 1. His finger was on verse 2 that says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Friend, you don't have to live your life worrying about, am I saved? Am I lost? Am I on my way to heaven? Am I on my way to hell? You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're right with God. You can know unequivocally that you're right with God. We're going to play softly on the piano. Softly on the piano. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. No one looking. No one looking. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. No one looking. Pastor, I'm here today. And this message about overcoming doubt, I've dealt with doubt. I've dealt with doubt concerning my salvation. Wondering, am I really right with God? Had a lot of fear in my heart. I've had a lot of fear in my mind. Today, this message was for me. But I don't know that I'm right with God. But I want to settle it today. I want to settle it today. I want to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I'm right with God today. I want to know. If that's you, hold your hand up real high where I can see it. Hold your hand up real high. God bless you. 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 I'm waiting on your hand. God bless you. I want to know. God bless you. I'm waiting on your hand. I want to know. God bless you. God bless you. I'm waiting on your hand today. God bless you. In the back, I'm in the balcony, anyone. I want to know, Pastor Benny. I don't know that I'm right with God. I'm waiting on your hand today. I'm waiting on your hand. Now listen to me closely. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You pray this prayer with me. God, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge to you today I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you went to the cross. You shed your blood on the cross for my sin. And I confess all my sin to you right now. I confess all my sin to you right now. Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Now, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for saving me. With every head bowed, no one looking. Pastor, I prayed the prayer with you today. Hold your hand up real high. Hold your hand up real high. You're great. That's great. Hold your hands up real high, real high, real high, real high, real high. That's great. Now look, look real high. That's great. That's great. One other thing. I'm just looking at you. I'm just looking. If you prayed the prayer, stand up right where you're at and look at me. I want to tell you something. That's it. That's it. All over the house. You're doing great. All over the house. Stand up. All over the house. All over the house. That's it. I'm waiting on you to stand up. We're going to wait. You prayed that prayer with me today. You prayed that prayer with me. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I prayed it with you today, Pastor. Stand up. I prayed. That's it. God bless you, young lady. I prayed it with you. You stand up. I prayed it with you today, Pastor. Folks, now wait, they're going to stay standing. Can you let them know what we think about them? Can you let them know what we think about them? And look. Now here, I want to say one thing to you. And we're done. Listen, I have some cards. After the service, I'm going to be right down here. I have some cards with my information on them. If anybody wants them, I have some cards. You can stay in contact with me right down here. Now look, come see me just a minute, son. Come see me. Give me your name. George. Look, George, come with me just a minute. George, I said I'm going to stand right over there, and I want to have some cards with my information on them that I want to give to everybody that would like it. Do you believe that, George? George said he believes that. The reason why, Jim, he believes that is I gave him my word. That I'm going to be right over here. But, George, let me share with you. I hate to admit it, but I could lie. I could lie. I hope I wouldn't, Dr. Smith, but I could. But let me tell you something, Dr. Smith. God can't lie. God can't lie. And God said, when George prayed that prayer to receive Jesus, he came into his life. He came into his life. Forever, he came into his life. And God cannot lie. You don't base your salvation on what you feel. You base your salvation on the Word of God and what God said, because God cannot lie. Can we all stand to our feet? Can we all stand and give the Lord praise? You may be seated, George. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, young people, I want to encourage you. I'll be back tomorrow. I want you to be here. The only way I want you to miss the service is if, the only way I want you to miss is if there would be a death in your family and it's you. I want you to be back here tomorrow, because I think I'll be sharing with you the most important message tomorrow that you need to hear that will be a help to you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.